Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. I am the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast, Andrew Gardner. In this podcast, we cover famous directors for people looking to get into movies, so we hope you stick around and enjoy the podcast on the Filmmakers Podcast. And also, follow us on Instagram at podcast_makers for more movie content. Sand bouncing off the car as an IED blows up, an excitable skydiving scene, and the invading of Osama bin Laden's compound are tense, action-filled scenes that Catherine Bigelow has shot. Catherine Bigelow is a filmmaker that has made huge waves in the action genre. She finds techniques of filmmakers and is able to make them into her own. She has transcended films through her work in the action-slash-thriller genre. May it be the made-up story of surfers that rob banks during the summer, dressed up as former presidents, to the real-life story behind the killing of Osama bin Laden. Bigelow's use of the steady shot is to wrap up the tension up to 11 is outstanding form of shots. The shakiness of the camera as bomb's tech staff Sergeant William Johnson dismantles a large bomb in a car in a busy area is a tense scene as the camera follows Johnson throughout the car looking for the wires that might set off the explosive. Catherine is able to establish the stakes at hand when it comes to scenes within her films. The film will be tense action causing the audience to feel uneasy. And then she will add a scene of fun bonding to give you a break only to ramp it up again. Within this episode, we will be discussing Point Break, made in 1991, The Hurt Locker, made in 2008, and Zero Dark Thirty, made in 2013. Before we jump into the plots and themes of Catherine Bigelow's films, we will jump into her life before her fame. So if you enjoy this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media at podcast_makers and listen to us wherever podcasts are held. Catherine Bigelow was born November 27th, 1951, in San Carlos, California. Catherine would grow up loving to paint and would later earn her bachelor's degree in fine arts from the University of San Francisco. Bigelow would later move to New York and live paycheck to paycheck, often staying in friends' lofts. Catherine would start small businesses like renovating distressed apartments and selling them for profits. While in New York, Bigelow would enter the master's film program at Columbia University. She would study film theory and film criticism to obtain her master's degree. She would shoot a 20-minute short film, The Setup, before filming her first full-length feature film, The Loveless, in 1981. Bigelow makes the film she doesn't write herself into her own by her creative shooting styles and techniques. Catherine Bigelow would win the first ever Oscar of Achievements in Directing by a female director. Bigelow would lead the renaissance of female filmmakers by winning an Oscar. Up to that point, it was always men that won the category. Bigelow has been very particular with her films as she's only filmed 10 films in 36-year career, but her films are always well-crafted and worth a watch. The first film to jump into is Catherine Bigelow's earliest best-known film, 1991's Point Break. Point Break follows a young FBI agent as he hunts down a group of bank robbers that dress up like former presidents on the job. The film stars Keanu Reeves as young agent Johnny Utah, a former college quarterback that turns into an FBI agent after his playing career is finished. 22-year senior agent Pappas is one who finds the bank robbers labeled the foreign presidents are surfers after wax used for surfboards was left behind at a robbery. Johnny Utah must learn how to surfboard in order to find who the robbers are. Utah enlists the help of Tyler, played by Lori Petty, an expert surfer and beach bum, to help him surf. Johnny then meets Bodie, played by the late Patrick Swayze, Tyler's ex, and the leader of the territorial surfer gang. The surfer gang and Bodie turn out to be the former presidents. After a high-speed chase resulting in Utah finding out Bodie and his gang are former president, he is asked to join them on a skydiving adventure. This is where we get one huge theme in Bigelow movies. In Catherine's movies, there is always one big action set piece next to the other great ones. When it comes to Point Break, the skydiving scene is the most action-packed. As the tension wrapped up, as Johnny doesn't know, Bodie and his gang know that he is an undercover agent, they all decide to jump out of a plane. It is shown with close-ups of the actors' faces and long shots of the stunt devils rolling through the sky. There's also a huge fact that Johnny doesn't have a parachute and needs to land safely. As the whole group lands safe, they are all felt the thrill of the skydive. Another theme in Catherine Bigelow's films is the thrill seeker that is not afraid to die. Bodie is a man that's not afraid to die. Bodie and his crew rob banks not only for the money, but for the next big thrill. In the end, Bodie, as he escaped the FBI in Utah, ends up in Australia. He would rather die taking one big wave. Utah decides to let Bodie surf the wave instead of arresting him due to him knowing Bodie will never be able to be satisfied with thrill in his life. Utah, in his own way, has always been chasing thrills as he always needs to be on top no matter what, may it be in the football world or being the best FBI agent. As Bodie dies, so does Utah's drive to be the best. The final theme I would like to cover in Bigelow's films is one great shot selection. Scenes are often shot underwater as surfers fall off their boards into the blue, cold water. We also see shots of surfers surfing between waves and doing all sorts of tricks. Her shots are one that many people wouldn't be able to get, as they seem to be impossible, like underwater shots and the shot of the skydiver struggling in the sky. The next film I would like to cover is The Hurt Locker, an award-winning film. Not only did Kathryn Bigelow win the Best Director at the Oscars, but the picture also won Best Film, cementing itself as one of the best movies of the 2000s. The film follows the Bravo Company in Iraq as they are tasked with dismantling bombs in order to keep the people of Iraq safe and also the military in this foreign land. When we first see the soldiers, we see Sergeant J.T. Sanborn, played by Anthony Mackie, Specialist Owen Elridge, played by Brian Grierty, and Sergeant Matt Thompson, played by Guy Pearce, as the bomb has been placed in the street. It ended up being a setup as a man with a cell phone detonates the bomb, killing Thompson. This brings in Jeremy Renner's Staff Sergeant William James. William continues the theme of a thrill seeker, as he often does things off book and on his own. This is when we see him turn off his headphones so Sanborn can't see what he's doing, and throws a smoke grenade so nobody sees what's happening. This is not only so the soldiers can't see what he is doing, but the Iraq people, so they can't see if he's close to the bomb to set it off. We see William is also great at what he does. After every job dismantled, he keeps a little bit of a bomb so he can dive into the mind of the man that set it. William shows how mad he is when he takes off his bomb suit to dismantle a car bomb. He claims there's enough explosive to kill everyone around, and he might as well be comfortable if he disarms a bomb. When finished, a high-ranking officer calls him a madman and asks how many bombs he dismantled, and it's in the 800s. We see William fall more into the war as an Iraq boy he established a bond with was murdered to plant drugs into. He went on a vigilante justice run into the cities of Iraq to see who killed him. At the end of the film, when a bomb blows up part of the city, he takes Sanborn and Elridge into the city to find the bomber when it wasn't their duty. This ends up getting Elridge shot and sent home. At the end of the film, William returns home to his wife and kid, but can't help but to return to war. William wants to be where he is wanted and ends up leaving his family again to serve another tour. William has such a need to feel important and to be experience the rush of a dismantling a bomb that he would rather be at war than with his friends and family. The tenseness of the film is always as present, as one second they might be blown up and the next, William, Sanborn, and Elridge are wrestling around drunk in their barracks. One last thing I would like to talk about is a scene where William dismantles the car bomb. This is the one big scene that Bigelow has in her films. The tension is high as William looks around the car looking for the trigger for the bomb, and Sanborn and Elridge must hold back the Iraq people as they videotape the soldiers and hang out to see if their enemy explodes. The tension is high as William takes off the headset one more time as so Sanborn can't hear him and tell him to get away from the car bomb. William is willing to explore the rest of the car, even if it might get his squad killed, in order to feel the thrill of his craft. The film deserves everything it's earned at the Oscars due to its high pace and danger behind every corner. Jeremy Renner does a fantastic job as a soldier dealing with early onset PTSD and the feeling he feels when he dismantles a bomb. Bigelow's last film we will dive into is Zero Dark Thirty, the 2013 action thriller that follows the action leading up to the assassination of Osama bin Laden. The film is a slow burn till the big scene at the end, but it has always kept the audience on their toes. The film has not been without controversy, as audience were horrified of the tactics the military took in order to extract information from the people they deemed terrorists. Scenes can make the audience feel uncomfortable as Dan seeks information from Ammar on the location of a terrorist who has been working with Osama bin Laden. Dan watches Ammar defecate his pants and hold food and water from him, not to mention the horrific act of waterboarding him. The main protagonist of the film is Maya, played by Jessica Chastain, a CIA operative who has been sent from Washington to Pakistan in order to gain information on where Osama bin Laden is. The film follows Maya's decade-long crusade to find bin Laden and the amount of steps she takes to get there. Maya is shot at, almost blown to pieces, and shot down by higher operatives on her way to securing her man. The film follows her through the years as she chases down Abu Ahmed al-Aqwada, a carrier for Osama bin Laden and a man 20 prisoners have talked about. Maya's whole drive is in the order to catch Abu. Maya is a career-driven woman that will do anything to get the job done. She is involved in war and takes no guff from her superiors and is not afraid of anything. She is involved in the Islam Marriott hotel bombing in 2008, and it doesn't faze her as she goes back to work. Maya must not step on the toes of military soldiers that she works with to catch Abu. In the end, Maya is back in Washington from Pakistan as she was shot at outside her house. Now she must deal with the head of the CIA. She ends up earning the respect of the head of the CIA as she is not blunt with the place she knows bin Laden resides in Pakistan. On May 2nd, 2011, Maya and the CIA task a team to take out bin Laden in his compound. This is where we see the big action scene that bolsters Bigelow Films. The scene intercuts SEAL Team 6 as they enter Bin Laden's compound. It is shown in the night vision so we can see what SEAL Team C sees, and it's also shot in complete darkness so we can see what other people see around the compound. We watch as SEAL Team 6 makes its way up the three-story building till they find Bin Laden and kill him. The segment within the film is the most intense because anything can be around the corner. SEAL Team 6 also needs to watch out for the angry mob making their way to the compound. They finish the job even with one of the helicopter explodes, and Maya's journey is finally done. We last see Maya on a plane with it willing to head anywhere she wants. She looks into the camera crying as her 10-year mission is finally completed. Maya finally finished her life's work and has nothing to do now. We can assume a passionate person like Maya will get back on her feet again. Zero Dark Thirty might be a real-life military thriller, but it makes for the best viewing experience as both sides of the war won't give up. All right, guys, that's our episode of Catherine Bigelow, and now it's time to tune in to our trivia of the week. Leave your comments on the social media post at podcast_makers. Now, what famous director was Catherine Bigelow married to from 1989 to 1991? Leave your post now at podcast_makers. All right, guys, next week we'll be covering the films of Ava DuVernay, so check it out and more on the Filmmakers Podcast.
All right, guys, that was our podcast. If you enjoyed it, remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_makers. And watch out for next week's podcast, because it's bound to be loads of fun as we look at another filmmaker. All right, guys, see you later.